Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta features 426 guest rooms, 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space, several dining options, including art bar, a gastro pub serving locally inspired fare and cocktails, along with an indoor-outdoor swimming pool and patio, 11 landscaped acres of walking trails, and a convenient location to all the attractions located north of Atlanta. Visit www.sonesta.com/Gwinnett Place to learn more about what we have to offer for your next getaway, meeting, or event. Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Faratech. Faratech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio here in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I am merely Mike Salmon alongside the wonderful Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Mike. Happy 2018 to you.
Yeah, it's our first show of the new year.
Off to a rip-roaring start.
Seems like it's been forever since we had a live show.
Because it's been more than a week.
Yeah, it was last year, in fact.
It was out, yep. And nobody in this studio said the I'll see you next year joke. So I was very proud of us.
Yeah, we did good.
For a brief moment, we showed some maturity.
And was Santa Claus good to you? Good new year, all that good stuff?
I don't want to talk about that topic on air.
Ooh, okay.
No, it's fine.
Hit a sore spot. Yeah. Sore spot there.
He skipped our house.
Yeah. I don't believe that for a minute. Anyway, I've got some gifts for you today.
Oh.
A couple wonderful guests here in the studio.
Well said, Mike.
Some businesses and organizations we want to talk about and get the word out about the great work they do. Scott Wilson is here. He is the managing partner with Core 4 Roofing. And we're also joined by Ken Double. He's the president of the Atlanta chapter of the American Theater Organ Society. So we'll have some fun with Ken. But we're going to start off with Scott Wilson with Core 4 Roofing. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Tell us all about Core 4 Roofing and exactly what your company does.
We are basically a residential roofing company. Specialized in storm damage restoration. I've got background in insurance adjusting, and that kind of translated straight into the roofing industry once I started having children back in 1999, and I didn't want to be on the road traveling all over the country anymore. So
you decided it would be safer to get on a roof.
Well, it'd be safer to be here to watch the children grow up. So, I was getting on roofs for the insurance company already. I figured something that I was intrigued with because I've got a background in the military and I like dangerous stuff. So being on the roof is somewhere that was natural for me.
Nice. So I've got to ask, the name of the company is Core 4 Roofing. I got to imagine there's some reason behind the name Core 4.
Definitely. Core 4 comes from... I'm part of a group that is called the Lion's Den, and it's basically Core 4 is our principles that we live by. It's body, balance, being, and business. And body is obviously your health, the fuel that you put into your body in order to get the production out of your body. Balance is your relationships with family and friends, and being is your spirituality, meditation, relationship with God, whatever your belief system is. And then business is obviously your business. And the goal is to take one step in each of those categories every day to make the day better than the day before was.
Core 4 Roofing, we're talking with Scott Wilson. And so you're a fairly new company, though.
Yes, we opened the doors. Well, we got our business license in March of last year. Really okay. Didn't start doing any business until June. Had a pretty productive year, basically doing everything myself. So right now we're in expansion mode. We're looking to bring on some consultants to come work with us. We're getting ready to launch a major marketing campaign in the Atlanta area to get Core 4 out there so that everybody knows who we are and what we do.
Absolutely. What's it been like being not only having, of course, your own business, but you have to run the business itself. So it's a little scary when you kind of go out on your own.
The good thing is I have good backing. My business partners found me. I do a lot of Facebook Lives for the install process, for the inspection process of the roof. My business partners found me through my live broadcast on Facebook. Reached out to me. They liked what I was about, what I stood for. And here we are today with Core 4 Roofing, basically 8 months into it.
Scott, Mike was asking you some questions about kind of getting the business started, being in your first year. Let me give you an opportunity to kind of speak directly to the consumers that you serve. One of the things you said off air that I'm going to kind of bring up here is you talked about roof inspections. Is that one of the main areas that the general public, people who own their own homes, are not doing a good job of looking after that?
Yeah, that's something that we notice. I mean, even if your home was built last week, there's no regulation on roofing in the Atlanta market or in Georgia altogether. I get on roofs all the time. I find exposed nails. Just for instance, a customer that I had, I looked at his roof about 3 months ago. His house is 3 years old. He had over 40 exposed nails on his roof because there's no regulation on the market.
How often should a homeowner have their roof inspected? Is there a general rule that you would want them to follow?
Typically, your builders are putting neoprene boots on the pipes, on the plumbing vents. Those tend to dry rot and wear out every 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
So I would say every 5 years is a good timeline for an inspection.
And I think the general consumer, and I guess I am speaking about myself here to some extent, when I hear the term roof inspection, the first thing I think is this company going to come and try to find a whole bunch of stuff that they can charge me for? What should the consumer, you know, what are they hoping to get? Obviously, they're looking for what are some of the small problems. You talked about exposed nails. What are some of the other things that a consumer can hear from a good roof inspector like you, a good roofing company like you, that they know they really do have my best interests at heart?
Well, we're not out there looking to do work that we don't need to do. We believe in being completely transparent with our inspections. We take pictures. We provide a roofing report once it's all said and done so that you can see what I'm talking about through pictures and also have a description of what's going on in that picture.
Good. And I think sometimes maybe some of it's they'll hear, we'll do a free roofing inspection. Well, okay. There's nothing free, right?
No, so free roofing inspections are just that. You're getting the exact value that you're asking for. Core 4 Roofing, we do not do free roof inspections.
Yeah, right.
If you want a report, I'll come out and look at your roof and tell you it's in good shape if you want me to tell you it's in good shape. But if you want an honest inspection, then you're going to have to pay me for the value that you're getting.
No secret, there's a lot of companies out there that take care of roofing and do inspections and so forth. What makes your company, and I think you kind of touched upon it a little bit, but I want you to expand on that. What makes your company maybe different from your competitors?
Well, I mean, you can drive through a neighborhood where a storm has just hit and you're going to see everybody's sign out there says free inspection. They just want to get on your roof because a storm came through the neighborhood. And chances are they're going to get your insurance company to buy you a new roof. Every time a storm hits your neighborhood doesn't mean you need a new roof. I'm going to find out if you actually need a new roof because I've got the background on the insurance side. I know exactly what the insurance is going to look for when they come out to look at your roof, and I can give you the honest assessment from that side of the business.
Talk more about what your plans are. Where do you see the company now? You're still a startup. I mean, a year old or so. Where do you see yourself 3 years from now, 5 years from now?
3 to 5 years from now. Well, I see us being a leader in the industry and in the metro Atlanta area. I also see us being having expanded by that period of time as well into other markets in the Southeast. The goal is to take over the Southeast first and then move throughout the rest of the country.
And the world. I'm sorry. I couldn't help but finish your sentence there. That's what it sounded like you were saying. I like that. So let me go back to the consumer for just a second and ask. I love how you came out of insurance adjusting. So you were already on top of the roof and you come at it from that point of view. How important is the roof to the overall house? I mean, it's the
number one defense, yeah, against Mother Nature.
There you go.
I mean, if you think about it, when they build your house, the first thing they do is they put all the framing up, put all the plywood on, and then they throw a roof on top of it to protect everything while they're working on it. The thing is, once they start working on it and all of your other contractors come in and start to add their facets to the roof system, the roof that was originally put on your house is probably not in the best shape when it's finally finished.
And so last question I have is, apart from the 5 to 7 years, which I think is great advice, Is there anything people could see with the naked eye and go, if I see this on my roof, if I see a shingle loose or something like that, you know, what are some of the things we should look for?
You should be, I mean, if you have a windstorm come through and a shingle's missing off of your roof, that's fairly obvious. Other than that, you're going to see streaking on the roof. That streaking is algae that actually grows on the shingles, and that's caused moisture getting on the shingles and the roof being shaded. So if you have a lot of trees around your house, you generally have more algae growth on your roof than you do if you live out in an open field and don't have any trees around your house. So that's probably the number one thing to look for is missing shingles and lots of granules coming out of the downspouts.
And I would think if you're standing in your house and something's dripping on your head and you know there's no plumbing above you,
what should I do, Mike?
Probably an issue with your roof. Has there ever been a time when you've gone on a roof and you're like, oh my goodness, and they didn't even know and you saw some major issues?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that happens all the time. It's something that the problem with installs nowadays is the roofing installers have become accustomed to what they've been doing for years and years and years and years. So that's something that Core 4 that I'm trying to change the standard on. If you look at, like, say, plumbing boots or HVAC vents and stuff like that, you go up on the roof, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find exposed nails on the bottom of that flashing. It may have a little bit of caulking on it, but that caulking wears out over time. If you conceal all those nails and you don't put nails in the bottom of that piece of flashing, you have a 100% chance of stopping it from leaking.
I may have a job for you. I don't know if you saw the story, Steven, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Wasn't the roof leaking during the, was it the national championship game?
Yes.
So you might want to reach out to the Mercedes-Benz folks about that.
Be more than happy to take a look at it for them.
Because I know the Mercedes-Benz folks would only want the best and only want the leader, someone who's going to take over the Southeast first.
There you go.
And then the world.
That would be Scott Wilson with Core 4 Roofing. And now that you're a partner in the company, are you still yourself getting up on the roof?
I do tend to get up on the roof. But we're looking to remedy that. We're looking to grow and let me be the puppet master on that end of it.
Great. As we do this show live, it's the middle of January, early to mid-January of 2018. Are you running any specials now or in the near future or any ongoing specials?
Typically, we don't run a whole lot of specials because the cost of the roof is the cost of the roof. Now, if the manufacturer wants to run a special on their particular shingles, then we will run with whatever the manufacturer's specials that they're running. If they're making, say, an architectural shingle available at a rebate, then we'll pass that savings on to the consumer.
If somebody's not sure if, you know, it may be that time frame that you mentioned where you should have your roof inspected, but maybe they want to have it done beforehand, they're not sure, but they just want to have that peace of mind. Is there a typical cost just to come out to inspect? Or is it a free inspection?
Right, they don't offer free inspections.
We don't do free inspections. Typically,
I want to just hammer the point home.
Your typical inspection is going to run you $200.
Okay.
With that typical inspection, you're going to get a qualified consultant on top of your roof that knows what they're doing. We're going to inspect the entire thing, take pictures of stuff that is in question, and provide you with a report at the end of it, depicting those pictures along with a description of what's actually going on in that picture.
Great. And now the most important question of the entire interview. For those that would like to find out more about your services, where can they get more information?
You can find us at Core 4 Roofing on Facebook, also on Instagram. www.core4roofing.com is our website. That is unfortunately still under construction, but it will be available very, very soon. You can also reach us at 1-844 My Core 4 or 692-6734.
Great. Scott Wilson with an up and coming roofing company, Core 4 Roofing. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey, Mike, before we go, the last thing, two little things to clean up for everybody who's now running to their computers or their phones and searching Core 4. Remember, it's the number 4, not spelled out 4, so Core number 4 Roofing. And last thing, Mike, just a quick business question for you. You asked about ongoing specials.
Right.
If a special is ongoing, isn't that just an ongoing price?
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't be a special then, would it?
No, it would. Specials run out. So there you go. But not. So there we go. We started off 2018.
It's been a long time since we've had a show, so you know.
But the good news is I didn't correct you on a name. I just corrected you on a business principle.
I actually got Scott's name right.
You did. Well done. And I'm very confident you'll get our second guest name right.
I have a feeling I will too. Yeah.
But before we get to that, I just want to remind everybody that Gwinnett Business Radio does broadcast live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. Love is what makes a Subaru. Did you forget that? I hope not, because it's 2018 and you can still get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience on an ongoing special at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. Visit SubaruGwinnett.com and join their family today. Come in and see the difference. Maybe you're already a Subaruist. Then follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
All right, Steven, our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio is Ken Double. Ken has done it all. He is right now the president of the Atlanta chapter of the American Theater Organ Society. He also is an organist at the Fox Theater. He also does some voiceover work and broadcasting, former voice of the Atlanta Knights hockey team. You've done it all, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Delighted to be here. I have done nothing except work very hard to not have to work for a living.
There you go.
I'd rather get paid to have fun than work.
Absolutely. And that's what we do here, too.
I like it.
We don't work.
Scared
we
of heights. Roofs are out of the question.
good thing we can hire somebody to go on top of them, right?
That's right.
Because it isn't going to be us.
Tell us about the American Theater Organ Society.
It's an organization that is actually international in its footprint, dates to 1955, and it grew out of a whole bunch of people who were in love with these pipe organs that don't date to churches, but to the old movie palaces of the 1920s. It was a very short-lived heyday and zenith for these instruments, and yet almost 100 years later, they're still around, still making music, and it's interesting. So there are 65 chapters. The theater organ footprint was the U.S., Canada, Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand. It did not get to mainland Europe, did not get to Africa or South America, say one in Japan, one in Germany. But that footprint, dating to the 1920s, its principal job was to make music for silent films.
Right.
Yeah.
Because correct me if I'm wrong, for a lot of the theaters, it was a live orchestra. And then you have, of course, this organ that when you play it, it almost sounds like a complete orchestra.
Yeah. And it was built to do that. The genesis of so many ideas isn't creativity, but money. And the theater operator is trying to figure out, do I have to pay this full orchestra all of this money to make music for silent films, or can I find one person? And one person at a piano in a 2,500-seat theater isn't enough. So these big pipe organs were created and, again, constructed so that the voicing of the instrument was like an orchestra. So if people were to come down to the Atlanta Fox and see me seated at the console of Mighty Mo, as they call it, the big molar pipe organ, they'd see this horseshoe of multicolored little stop tabs, and each one is a different voice. And it could be a string, it could be a flute, it could be a clarinet, it could be an oboe, a trumpet, a tuba, whatever. The biggest difference between theater organ and church organ is to be like an orchestra. The theater organs in the 20s also had glockenspiels, xylophones, tambourines, castanets, bass drums, tap cymbals, all of these real orchestra voices. And there were no speakers. There was no digital. If you wanted a glockenspiel, you had to have a real glockenspiel, and it had to play through the keyboards. And that's part of what made the theater organ such a fascinating piece of equipment.
But Ken, for these organs, there's only one organist with two arms, two hands.
Yeah.
How do you play this thing?
There are these magic little buttons under the keyboard that preset these stops for combinations of sounds. And the approach to the theater organ is completely different than, let's say, somebody playing the Hammond organ at one of our churches for gospel music, or Hammond organ in a rock band, or a church organ in some great church or cathedral. The theater organ is a melody instrument. So my right hand is like the singer. My left hand is doing the harmony and the backup. My left foot is the bass player. And so if you think of arranger Nelson Riddle and the work he did behind Frank Sinatra or Linda Ronstadt, that's what the theater organist is. The creative genius behind making music to back up this singer, which is your right hand carrying the melody.
I read something, or you said something one time, where you're almost doing 17 things at one time.
If you watch a good theater organist play, you never see sheet music. So the number one thing is the organist has already learned the piece. They didn't write music to be played on the theater organ. The theater organists, by virtue of the instrument, became their own arrangers and conductors of their orchestra. So, yeah, 17 different brain functions, and you've already learned the music. You're working not only with your hands and 2 feet because your right foot is controlling volume, but there is a gimmick on the lowest keyboard called second touch. So if you think about what trombones or French horns do in the orchestra, these counter melodies that are kind of buried underneath, by pressing the note harder, I can get a second voice to play. So your left hand, you're actually splitting in two. Your right hand, you're splitting in three because I've got 4 keyboards on Mighty Mo.
You keeping up with this, Stephen?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I'm taking notes.
Yeah, and so left foot, right foot, and then you're thinking ahead of yourself for stop changes when you want different voices to play. You're thinking ahead of yourself in the arrangement for key changes. There are all these different things going on in your brain all at once. I can't balance my checkbook, but I can play the theater organ.
If you're trying to do all these 17 things and you're trying to learn the music for your performance, how do you practice that without being down there all the time? Is there a way to practice the theater organ without being at a theater organ?
Not really.
Yeah.
Now, for example, I don't play piano. I had 10 years of organ lessons, but as I joke with my audiences, if they hung me for being a pianist, they'd hang an innocent man.
Well, I could see why.
They're totally different instruments.
Different.
Yeah. And I didn't have any piano lesson instruction. So, we can... And the better players who do play piano, they can work out ideas and arrangements at a piano and then get to a theater organ. But for the years I was broadcasting and doing concerts on a backup basis, people would ask me, how do you keep in shape? And the answer to that question is you learn a particular piece and that's how you play it every time you play it. So that practice and rehearsal was just brushing up on things I already know. Learning new things, you've got to eventually get to the organ to practice.
All right. So let me ask the question about the American Theater Organ Society. You did a fantastic job of kind of giving a very brief background of where these things came from and where they started. As far as the society today, its main function, I would assume, is to not only preserve, but also promote how these instruments still have a place in today's society.
Through our 65 local chapters, and the Atlanta chapter is one of them. Exactly. Those folks are doing what they can to first and foremost preserve the instrument,
right?
And then do what they can to promote concerts and silent films and whatever the presentation may be. And there are lots of opportunities in Atlanta to hear theater organ, more than you would ever know.
Well, that was going to be my next question. You took it away from me. So apart from Mighty Mo at the Fox, are there any other theater organs in the Atlanta area?
There is one other theater pipe organ, and it's at Stevenson High School in Stone Mountain. And this is an instrument that our chapter owns and installed in a relationship with DeKalb County Schools with the most encouraging music department I have ever experienced in my 40 years of playing theater organ. And for 10 years, I was president of the national organization. Quentin Goins, who is the band and orchestra director, Dr. Veda Coleman, who is the choral director, they love our Page pipe organ that's in that auditorium, and love to try and incorporate it into some of their programming. And we go down there on Saturdays and work on the organ. And then we're just now, because the instrument it took a long time to get this very complex organ on a volunteer basis up to where it's now a first class, world class instrument. And so we're just now beginning to organize concert series and performances on the Page.
We're talking with Ken Double with the Atlanta chapter of the American Theater Organ Society. And I don't think we'd be doing it justice if we don't at least hear a sample of what this would sounds like. And so we've got something queued up, ready to go. Anything, any setup for this?
Well, yeah, this is the original Wurlitzer organ installed in the Denver Paramount Theater. This is a live performance of a jazzy swing thing made famous by Count Basie, among others, called I Love Being Here With You.
Okay, and we'll play about 20 seconds or so up loud, and then we'll lower it and we'll talk over, because there's some things that I want to point out when we listen to this. Go ahead. You don't hear that in the church, do you?
Well, not often.
Coming up later in this song, you hear what almost sounds like drums.
Yeah.
And it's like, Where'd that come from? So you do get that whole orchestra feel.
Yeah.
So I can turn on a cymbal tab so that every time I strike a pedal note, right, and I'm doing four beats, but just like a bass player, boom, 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 the cymbal strikes. Nice. So you can get that jazz cymbal effect by doing that.
Now I was going to ask, who's playing?
That's me.
Okay, so this is you in the Denver Theater.
Yes.
So I want to kind of talk about you. You talk about the purpose is to promote. So my dad was a minister of music in a church, mm-hmm, and played the organ as well as piano and other things. And one of the things he always said was, you know, that they, toward the end of his career in his last church, they bought an organ and they kind of did it as a thank you to him, but they wouldn't let anyone else play it. And he's like, you're missing the whole point. We want to, if we want to continue this type of music. So I would imagine the high school does some things. And I mean, how do you guys promote and get more people interested in potentially learning how to do this skill?
Do everything we can to expose people to the instrument. We're fortunate in Atlanta because the Atlanta Fox uses Mighty Moe about 120 times a year.
Wow.
Mostly for walk-in music ahead of shows. So ahead of the Coca-Cola Summer Film Series at the Fox, ahead of almost every Broadway show, there's 30 minutes of walk-in music on Mighty Moe. So when we first get to some people at the high school and they say, what is that? Well, this is Mighty Moe's little sister, and they know exactly what we're talking about because Mighty Moe has been heard in Atlanta since 1929. That's one part of it, to try and get the public exposed to the instrument. We also have a theater organ at the Strand Theater in Marietta, Georgia. That's a digital electronic organ.
Okay.
And it's played quite often, including silent film presentations and other things. So that pocket gets some exposure to it. In terms of young people, our challenge for the future is twofold. One, we hopefully have an audience for people who want to hear the theater organ, and then have young players. The American Theater Organ Society sponsors the Summer Youth Adventure. This will be year 11 for the Summer Youth Adventure. It's a week-long camp experience for young people with five of our best teachers and players. It's coming to Atlanta this summer in July, and we're really excited because we'll have anywhere from 15 to 18 young people, ages 13 to 22. Some are college players who are studying church organ, never played theater organ in their life, and they get exposed to it. And at the same time, some of them are very talented young people. We've developed six concert-level touring artists out of our Summer Youth Adventure in just 11 years. And we've had roughly 80 people go through the program. And so we are not going to be hurting for top-level young talent. The question is going to be, one, will they have instruments to play on?
Right.
And I think that'll be okay. Will they have an audience? And therein lies our challenge.
How did you find your love for theater organs? Because obviously you didn't have one in the house growing up.
Nope.
Where did your love come from?
Yeah, you didn't take piano. So
right. Back in the 50s and 60s, electronic organs were flying out of mall stores because it was...
My dad had one. As a kid, I remember one in our living room.
It almost replaced the accordion.
Yeah.
When I was about 7 or 8, mom and dad bought a small electronic organ. I started taking lessons. Although growing up in Chicago, I knew... By the time I was 4, I wanted to be the next Jack Brickhouse, the longtime voice of the Cubs. I knew I was going to be a sportscaster. But the lessons continued. I was kind of getting bored with them. I got into high school. Where I was at school, there was a radio station, so I had an opportunity to delve into that love almost immediately. But there was also a music department, and they had an elective class I took called Keyboard Ensemble, and we built a harpsichord. We listened to all kinds of recordings, and the teacher was into theater organ, and he introduced us to instruments on a field trip, one a bicycle ride away from my house, the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge, Illinois. And then he took us to the Oriental Theater downtown, and I saw my first concert presentation. And I saw a fire engine red with gold and black trim Wurlitzer console rise out of the black sea of a pit and breathing fire. This instrument literally spit fire out of the
chambers. Talking about an organ here, right?
It was unbelievable.
If that's not the best description of a theater organ, I can't. I mean, there was a presentation. It was more than just sound.
And you can talk to any of us who play, be it these 15, 16-year-old phenoms or the 78-year-old who's played for 60 years, and they'll tell you about their wow moment as to what hooked them on theater organ, and that visit to the Oriental Theater, I said, this is why I've been taking lessons. And I steered my lessons in that direction for another 5 or 6 years.
Well, great stuff, Ken. But before we want let you go, you mentioned your career as a sportscaster. Let's see if... let's see if this brings back...
The halcyon days of my youth.
Does this bring back any memories?
Oh, now Donatelli wants to go at it with Medill, who backs away from trouble, and Martel calls no penalty. Here comes San Diego the other way. Across and splitting the defense, a quick shot, save, rebound, and another save, and went wide as Lambert could not capitalize. A penalty coming up now as LaPuma and Lambert push and shove. Now,
who was that guy?
And of course, what do they find? The fights.
The fight.
The fights.
That's all you can find these days. That's all you can find on YouTube these days.
Yeah, I know. The artistry of a great sport of hockey, and they still focus on the fighting instead of the
You're skating. One of the few sportscasters that's called a championship here in the city of Atlanta.
Yeah. That's true. 1994, the Atlanta Knights won the IHL Turner Cup, and that was a lot of fun.
There you go.
I called 3 championship teams. My first year in hockey in Indianapolis, they won the Turner Cup. My second year here, Atlanta won the Turner Cup. And then my third year in Houston, they won the AHL Calder Cup. And I kept trying to get to the NHL, and I kept telling people, if you'll hire me, you'll win a championship in my fourth year.
There you go.
Didn't convince them.
No one bought that argument, huh?
No.
Man.
Well, Ken, we appreciate you joining us. For those that would like to find out more about the American Theater Organ Society, specifically the Atlanta chapter, or maybe they're inspired now to find out more and maybe become a performer, where can they get more information?
The website for the chapter is, well, first of all, the website for the national organization is www.atos.org. And that will tell you about, you know, membership and what we do on a national basis, including our journal, our conventions, which will come to Atlanta in 2020. Locally, it's www.atlantaatos.org. You can find out about membership in our organization and our concerts coming up. April the 15th, David Gray, a young Scotsman, he's 27 and he's spectacular. He'll be performing at the Page Organ at Stevenson High School. That'll be a Sunday afternoon. And then June 26th, Richard Hills is absolutely the greatest player in the world. And he'll be at the Page Organ at Stevenson High School then. And he is, time for a quick story. He's from London, and he is equally as comfortable playing the theater organ as the great cathedral concert organs. He was organist at Westminster Abbey for a while and loves to tell the story of playing the service for a knighting ceremony. And the queen is about ready to tap the sword on the guy's shoulders, right? The guy's cell phone goes off. And the queen leans down and says, you'd better answer it. It could be something important. Richard Hills, a great story that he loves to tell. So anyway, there are concerts coming up on the Great Page Organ. And we hope folks will take an interest. And good heavens, if you're at the Fox and you're hearing the organ, come down and say hello.
Yeah.
Mike, the Mighty Mo.
Mike, there's a marketing lesson. When Ken Double, who plays the Mighty Mo at the Fox Theater, says that the greatest theater organ player in the world is coming to do a concert, that might be a good reference for me to get a ticket.
Yeah. There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. Ken, thank you for joining us here in the studio.
Great to be with you. Good to see you again, Mike.
Yes.
Tell him. Mike Salmon was my intern with the Atlanta Knights.
How was Mike as an intern? We're going to start a third interview.
Well,
now.
You notice he's not in sports anymore. So I
you did such a good job. He left the industry love.
Yeah.
Well, now it took him about 20 years to get out of it.
I was a slow learner. It took me 20 years to finally figure out not to get out of the business. All right. Well, thank you, Ken. And you got some more business for us to wrap up.
I do.
Here.
One last piece of business. I want to remind everybody that if you are a business owner and you're tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business, then you need to know Proactive Payroll, because they rock payroll and they provide relief. They handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. Hey, that keeps you in business. They also handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and so much more. They don't just process payrolls. They build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. And my question to you is, which would be more intimidating, standing on a roof or playing the Mighty Mo at the Fox Theater?
I would be very intimidated standing on a roof because I'm deathly afraid of heights. I did take 7 years of piano from my dad. So even though Ken didn't, I could probably make a couple of cool sounds, but that's about it.
Okay. So, I think I'd rather stand on a roof.
No, besides, if I got at the theater organ, I would feel like I'm in that old horror movie and I just want to be taught to go the dun, 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 you know, and just let it really pound out in the
Ken could teach you that.
I know he could.
All right, I want to thank Ken Double joining us from the American Theater Organ Society, the Atlanta chapter, and also Scott Wilson with Core 4 Roofing. A reminder, yes. Okay. You were just looking at me funny.
I'm just thinking of ongoing specials over here.
Okay. Shush. Can we edit that part out? A reminder, you can listen to this episode or any of our episodes anytime by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. The podcasts are there 24/7, and we're also all over social media, so check us out there as well.
I remember there's an ongoing special for Gwinnett Business Radio. Go to your podcast app and you can download the show for free every week.
And you can hear Stephen make fun of Mike all the time.
And Mike will make fun of Stephen and Trey will make fun of both of us.
Yes. And it's been wonderful working with you, Stephen, by the way.
Thanks. Good to work with you. I know I'm fired again.
There you go. And for Trey, I'm Mike. And for Stephen, we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo!